Call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. I'm going to be kind of blunt this morning. We have a troublemaker in the church, and I intend to call names. He tries to discourage me. He tries to lead me in areas I do not need to be in. Every time I turn around, he's a problem. And not only is he a problem for me, he's a problem for the people that I love. And I'm talking about you. And quite frankly, my job this morning, my desire, my goal is to expose this individual that's giving us so much trouble. And we look in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 1 and we're going to find out about that individual. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word and learn of you and learn of the challenges that Satan throws our way. And Lord, we just look to you for strength and wisdom to take our stand that will bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, I pray that you will just guide in this message, that you will convict, that you will comfort, that you will, Lord, draw all men to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You might know by now who I'm talking about, right? Who the big troublemaker is. Not only is he a troublemaker inside these walls, he's a troublemaker outside these walls. Everywhere you go, you see his fingerprint on society. And today, we're going to learn how to deal with the devil, the old troublemaker. His name, his very name means slanderer or accuser. The name Satan that he often uses means adversary, meaning he is our enemy. He was the serpent in the Garden of Eden who deceived Adam and Eve. He was the enemy of Job who attempted to destroy a great man of God. He sifted the Apostle Peter, causing him to deny Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom he had dedicated his life to. He's described by Peter as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He stands in opposition to all that is godly and good. And his personal goal is his personal glory. And his tactic is deception. He is a liar. He's alive and well in the world today. My friends, and today we look at three of his mighty lies that he uses to dissuade, discourage, and lead people astray. Lie number one, God does not really love you. Now I want you to chew on that just a moment. Let that sink in. That's what Satan often presents to people today. It actually, if in translation, I think we lose a little bit here, but I want to share with you. I think this should actually be translated not if, but since. And it could very well. It's just a matter of trying to figure out the wording there. But in the context, I believe that a better translation would be, since you are the Son of God. You see, Jesus, or Satan does not, he knows who Jesus is. There's no question. The demons of hell know who Jesus is. There's not a question. And Jesus knew who he was. All right? He's not questioning that. That's just almost unquestionable. That's kind of like saying, if there really is a God, well, open your eyes and look, you know. It's pretty obvious that there is a God. So Satan here, it's more of a, since you are the Son of God, and since you are hungry, turn these stones into bread. For you see, you are supposed to be the beloved Son of God. As a matter of fact, just prior to this, we read about Jesus' baptism. And after the baptism, we remember, and we preached on that last Sunday, how the Holy Spirit of God descended and rested upon Jesus. And do you remember what God said? The voice from heaven came out and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That word beloved means someone who I love very, very much. And now, as Jesus has fasted for 40 days, Satan is in the ear of Jesus saying, "You know, there must be something wrong with the love of your God, because you are hungry. Something's wrong with that. If he truly loved you, you would not be experiencing this severe hunger. God's love must be flawed." Actually, Jesus responded and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And what Jesus is sharing there, telling Satan, he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which reads like this: "So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." You know, I want to call your attention to the word allowed. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger. Do you see the implication here? That God was doing this for a reason, even for their own good in the book of Deuteronomy. And even in Jesus' temptation, Jesus was where he was for his good. The Father knew that he was hungry. I love the way that's worded. He allowed you and fed you with manna that which you did not know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. You know, as I read and I thought about this, I thought, wow, how many times have I been in the position that I thought I knew what I needed, that I even worried about what I needed and didn't get what I thought I needed, but instead God gave me what I really needed. Have you ever been there? And it was at those times that I knew that God really did love me, and he cared enough not to give me what I thought I wanted, but what I really and truly needed. You know, last week I was preparing for this message, and I preached an association meeting in Mississippi the last of the week, and next week I've got a revival in Huntsville, Alabama, and it's kind of amazing how when it rains it pours. You ever get that? And so, kind of going through one of those times, and so I was studying, and I was working and studying and working and studying and working and studying, and the more I studied, the less I was getting. Have you ever been there? If you're a Sunday school teacher, you know, or a preacher, you know those times when you just study and it will not come. And I finally, toward the end of, to the middle of last week, I finally backed up and I said, God, God, you know the meetings that are coming up here. God, if I'm going to preach them, you're going to have to give me something. You ever been there? And you know what come to me in this still small voice? It come to me, Doug, you need to stop studying to preach and start studying to know me. Because you see, when you study and prepare to know God, it changes the heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know? Isn't it amazing how God does love us enough to provide us what we need? And most of the time, that is way much more than bread. Oh, we worry about, Lord, help me pay my bills, and Lord, help me feed my family. And when those things are threatened, Satan does accuse us, or does make the accusation, God must not really love you, or He'd be taking better care of you. When the reality is that God really does love us, and He loves us enough to give us much more than just bread. I love James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I want more than bread. How about you? You know, God has blessed me. He's blessed me with the food that I eat, and you can tell He's blessed me pretty well. And not only that, but He's blessed me with a family. He's given me way more than just to be able to pay my electric bills. He's given me a wife that has stayed married to me for 32 years. He's given me a son and daughters and a grandchild. And just everywhere I look, when I back up and think about this, does God really love me? I look at the blessings and I have to answer a resounding, without a doubt, God does love me. And I'll tell you something, He does love you too. Not only does He provide the physical, but He provides the spiritual. The things that I need on the inside. You know, I've had every physical need met at points in my life and felt just as empty as I could feel. How about you? You see, God moves in. And He takes that emptiness and fills it with light. And gives you that peace that passes understanding. And when things aren't going right and I feel alone, guess what else happens? I get on my knees and it's not long before I realize, hey, I am not alone. I have a Savior who cares. Satan will feed you lie after lie after lie. God doesn't really love you. But I want to tell you, God does love you. He loves you enough to give you not just bread. He loves you enough to give you every need that you could possibly need. One other scripture I want to share with you. It's not in the outline, but I want to share with you. It's a favorite scripture of mine, and it reminds me of how much God loves me. Proverbs 30 and 8 says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food allotted to me." You know what that prayer is? God, give me exactly what I need. Not just riches. Not just physical needs. But give me, Lord, what I need that I may be close to You. Because isn't that when we're the happiest? When we're close to God. Don't believe the lies of Satan. God really, really does love you. Lie number two. Satan says, I can give you more than God can give you. Lie number two, I can give you more than God can give you. And I'll tell you, Satan offered Jesus the opportunity of a lifetime. The devil took Jesus and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said, it all belongs to me. All this authority I will give to you and their glory. It's mine and I can give it to whoever I will. And I will give it to you if you will worship me. You don't even have to mean it. Just worship me. Fame, fortune will be yours. And I'll give you things that God will not give you. You ever been in this position? I look around today and I think, how many times have we compromised our relationship with God for a lie of the devil? You know? I mean, Satan offered the opportunity of a lifetime. God offers the opportunity for an eternity. You see, Jesus has already been promised everything. I look in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 32 says, He will be great. And this is birth announcement to Mary. He will be great and He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And I know that it has not happened yet. But I want to tell you, every knee one day will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The day's coming. It's been promised by God the Father. It's coming. But you know, if Jesus listens to Satan, maybe this is a shortcut. We like shortcuts, don't we? You see them on TV all the time. How to get rich. How to get rich in real estate. How to get rich in banking. How to, you know what I figured out? There's no shortcuts to getting rich. There are no shortcuts to living. As a matter of fact, I've come to the realization it's through the experiences and things that we go through, even the schools of hard knocks, that makes us who we are, which ultimately will make us better in the service of the kingdom of God. I want to share with you, there are no shortcuts. And Jesus knew that. That's why He said, you will worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And if you'll notice, Satan didn't say anything about service. But see, Jesus knew something. Jesus knew where you worship, that's where you're going to serve. You ever seen people so consumed with something that it consumes all their time and their efforts and their work? What's going on? That's where they're worshiping. Have you ever compromised for instant gratification? Where did it leave you? Empty? I wonder how many times have people in this congregation, both young and old, been offered, you know, come and let's go to this party and have a hi-ho time. And you'll be accepted by the group. And so you went. And you... for that evening was accepted by the group and you participated in things that you should not have participated in. Where did it leave you? For many people, it leaves them bowing before the toilet the next morning. I've often wondered how people, you know, they talk and it's painted on television as being such a glorious and a wonderful time. But they don't show the next morning. And I've often wanted to ask, is that really fun? I don't like being sick. What about you? Ah, but the lies of Satan. Why do we have drug addicts? Because of the lies of Satan. Oh, this will make you feel much better if you shoot this into your veins or draw it up your nose. And you'll feel way better. And then it takes hold and controls the life and they can't get over it. You know, I recall the Garden of Eden when Satan said to Eve, oh, you'll not surely die, but God knows that you'll be like Him in the day that you eat of that forbidden fruit. You see the promise there? You'll be like a God. Opportunity of a lifetime. How did it turn out? They ate the fruit. Their eyes were opened and they were ashamed. They were ashamed. They lost their relationship with God. They were cast out of the garden. No more garden walks in fellowship and perfect harmony with God. It ended in an absolute disaster. Lie number two. Satan can give you more than God can give you. You're wrong. He's a liar. Don't fall for it. There's something to be said. There's a lot to be said for being able to lay your head down at night and know that things are right with the Lord. And even better than that, there only glory when it's all said and done. Because there's been a place prepared for those who've given their life to Jesus Christ. And I know I've seen it time and time again, and I've had people tell me, "Oh, Brother Doug, I know I need to be saved. I know I need to commit my life to Christ. But there are some things that I got to get out of the way yet." I've even had people tell me, "Brother Doug, I'm sowing my wild oats right now. You know, I'm sowing my wild oats." You know what they're doing? They're listening to the lie of Satan that he can give them something that God cannot give. God not only wants to give you, He wants to make you happy when it's all said and done. My friends, don't believe the lie of Satan. Then finally, lie number three, God can't be trusted. God can't be trusted. Satan took Jesus upon the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Since you are the Son of God, and it's written He'll give His angels charge over you, that they'll bear you up so you'll not even dash your foot upon a stone." So if God can be trusted, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. If you really trust God. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." And if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read that, you'll find where it's referring to Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And that is the place where Israel contended with Moses because they were thirsty. And they began to whine and complain against Moses, and they began to threaten Moses and, "Give us water, give us water. If you don't give us water, we're going to kill you." And it got really, really bad. And at the end of that, you find out the bottom line was they were saying, "We're thirsty, so God must not be with us." As a matter of fact, I think the words are, "Is God with us or not?" And what I want to share is the lie of Satan that often comes up when times are challenging. God's not faithful. That's the lie. God's not with you if life is difficult at the moment. As a matter of fact, that is so completely polar opposite to the reality. If God weren't with you going through those difficult times, you'd really be in trouble. Amen? But time and time again, I have been told by people, "Well, if there really is a God, why do good things happen to bad people?" Have you ever heard that? "If there really is a God, why do babies get sick? If there really is a God, why did I go through this rough patch in my life?" As a matter of fact, I've even had people tell me they blame God for trouble. And don't blame God. Do not blame God for Satan's handiwork. All right? Things were good in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it was right. There was communion with God. Sin had not entered into society. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no worry. There was no care. Until Satan showed up and messed it all up. He messed it up. Not God. He messed it up. And so now when tragedy strikes, and the reason tragedy strikes is because Satan messed it up, don't point your finger at God and say, "God, you must not be on your throne." That is a lie of hell. God is on His thrones. And I want you to know that circumstances do not determine who God is. God is always faithful. I want you to see three things that Satan attacked here. Okay? Number one, he attacked love. God's love. God really loves you. Why are you hungry? Number two, he attacked hope. You know, I know God's made you this promises, but you hadn't seen it yet. You're going to be the Son of God and every knee will bow and every tongue. But you hadn't seen it yet. I'll give it to you today. He attacked the hope. Then, he attacked the faith, the confidence in God. You know, I'm going through this difficult time, so I can't really trust God. God's not really with me. Wait a minute, does that sound familiar? He attacked faith. He attacked hope. He attacked love. What spiritual gifts do we have? I want to tell you the spiritual gifts that we have are faith, hope, and love. And without those three things, we are standing on shaky ground. Okay? Satan knows where to attack. He knows our weaknesses. But you know, as I read this, and I read the response of Jesus every time, and then finally, I see where Satan just got tired of him and he left until a more opportune time. I do see the more opportune time, don't you? Satan doesn't give up easily. But my friends, I want to challenge you today. You see, for the world, Satan is this mythological figure, a fairy tale. If you believe in God, you've got to believe in Satan. If you believe in Jesus, you've got to believe in Satan. Why? Because he's revealed in the Bible. And you understand his goal is your destruction. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to rob you of the joy of the Lord. He wants to take everything that you have. It's not God that's against you. It's Satan. And you're here today, and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, and Satan has been leading you down the paths of lies for such a long time. Oh, you'll do that one day. You can take care of that later on. But not right now. There are some things you've got to get straight first. You ever heard that? I'm going to be saved one of these days, but I got to get some things straight. That's a lie of Satan. You can't straighten it out. God's got to straighten you out, okay? God has to make it right. Today's the day. And we're going to come to an invitation in just a moment. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know the love of God. That according to John 3:16, God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That Son was Jesus. So that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is a promised truth. Okay? You can live forever in the glory of heaven if you'll call upon Jesus. Romans chapter 10 shares with us. If we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. See, what I'm asking for today is a commitment to Jesus Christ. Not a commitment to church, not a commitment to religion, not even a commitment to me or any individual. I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Satan's been lying to you way too long. He's been promising you how good it's going to be. And I challenge you, just back up and look at where you really are. Do you have the peace that passes understanding? Do you have the knowledge, the peace of knowing that when this life is through, Jesus has prepared a place for you eternal in the heavens that'll never fade away? Do you know the joy of salvation? If not, cast off the lies of Satan and answer God's call. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you respond to the Lord? Maybe you're here today and you're already saved, but you've been listening to the lies of Satan. It's time. It's time to be like Jesus and say, "Get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. I'm not listening to that garbage anymore. You are a liar." Time for rededication so that you can once again know the joy of salvation that you know resides in Jesus. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would just ask you, as we had this invitation, say yes to the truth of Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that there is truth and light in You and in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You expose the devil. And that Lord, You have our good in mind. So we pray for wisdom to recognize the deceptive tactics that Satan tries to employ to sidetrack us. that we may respond as Jesus responded, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Lord, I pray now as we come to this invitation, You knowing every heart, You knowing every need in this congregation, Lord, I pray that today those who are lost will come to You for salvation. I pray that today those who need to follow You in scriptural baptism, Lord, will come to You and make that commitment. For rededication, for church membership, whatever the need is, Lord, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.